Midnight Music.
Coming up this week on Kings of the Rings podcast, and you thought this jumped the shark? Jey Uso not so quietly leaves WWE. Edge might go out with a banger after banger after banger, and surprise, surprise, CM Punk threw another hissy fit. So sit back, relax, and make sure you're not indicted in Fulton County, Georgia. Sorry about that. It is episode number 350, a not-so-anniversary episode of Kings of the Rings podcast, Deuces Ooses, exclusively on Wrestle Addict Radio, and it starts right now. Literally 91 counts.
That's a lot of fucking counts, dude.
It is.
So many counts. I can't even count that high.
I'm really concerned about your educational backgrounds after that. You can't count the 91. That might be a problem. Yet very astonishing how your neurodivergent ass made it this far.
I hit 15 and I just don't know what to do.
And that's on not going to school in New York.
Hey, Massachusetts is a great public education.
Better educational system than we are. You came from a good one, supposedly. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a hopefully more educated edition of Kings of the Rings podcast. I am your host, King Ricky Rose. It's our 350th official episode. We're probably at like 364, but we've had some screw-ups along the way. Thank you guys for joining us. If you guys like what you see, or if you're listening to us, wherever you're listening to all of your podcasts, make sure you leave a five-star review. Like, share, subscribe, Willie T, kayfabe, the gang is all here. And unfortunately for Will, besides his lack of an educational prowess, he was also kicked out of AEW Collision by CM Punk. How do you feel about that, Will?
I'm trying to do math to see how many episodes we would actually be at if we never missed a week over the past 8.5 years. Because actually, is this is our eight, also our 8.5 year anniversary.
It would be around, today?
It would be around 390. Yeah, it's around this time. So it was around February this time of 2015 when I started the podcast. So it'll be around, we should be on episode 390. So 40 weeks off, we took off. So good old. America doesn't have paid time off, but neither do we. We just take it off anyway. I'm Will Tarish, ladies and gentlemen. T.S. Thomas, A-R-A-S-H-E-K. I've been here for at least 330 of these things, so.
Something like
good
that.
Good on me. But where would I be without the love of my life, Kay Murphy? It's good to have you back.
Welcome back, everybody. Kay,
babe. I am glad to be back. This is, I don't know how many episodes I have been on Kings of the Rings podcast, but I have been here for 4 years already.
Well, over 100, I know that.
Yeah. I'm definitely way past 100, like including like guest appearances, like pre-hosting time. But I don't know how many episodes I've been on. Why am I the future tag team partner of Riddle?
We'll talk about it.
Oh, God. I think that's offensive.
Everybody during needs a babysitter.
During my birthday week? Come on. I deserve better than this.
Listen, Riddle needs a babysitter.
And it ain't me.
Well, it's Drew right now, but we'll get into that a little bit later. We've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about on this show, a lot of potential predictions, a lot of fun interactive stuff because, hey, the gang's back, gang's all back, and even Taquan is here in our comments. Thanks, Taquan. Should be a fun time antagonizing Will and his lack of an educational prowess. Mm-hmm. But before we get into all of that, we actually have some late-breaking news that was just revealed from, I believe, Bleacher Report via TMZ literally a couple of hours ago before we were recording, and it does involve WWE Hall of Famer Tammy Sitz, formerly known as Sunny, one of the most downloaded women of the mid-90s during her era. And it states, via TMZ, former WWE diva, because she was not a female superstar, but she was a diva, Sunny is facing 25 years in prison in a DUI manslaughter case.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, so I will read it to you because I literally have not got a chance to read it because I was prepping for the show. So here's what we got from TMZ Sports. Tammy Sitz, better known as Sunny during her time in WWE, faces a maximum of 25 years in prison after pleading no contest to DUI manslaughter charges Wednesday. TMZ Sports reports that Sunny entered a no contest plea on the following charges: felony DUI causing death, one felony charge of driving with a license suspended causing death, 4 misdemeanor counts of DUI with damage to a person, and 2 misdemeanor charges of a DUI with damage to property. Ormond Beach Police, it's in Florida, said the 50-year-old struck the car of a 75-year-old Florida man leading to his death in March of 2022. They said that Sonny's blood alcohol content was take a deep breath for this, 0.280 at the time of the crash, which is 3.5 times higher than the Florida's limit of 0.08. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement said the blood test revealed she also had marijuana in her system before the crash. She originally pleaded not guilty on the charges, but later reached a plea deal with prosecutors. She has been arrested no less than 6 times on suspicion of driving under the influence. It did not have a valid Florida driver's license. The former WWE superstar has had several other run-ins with law enforcement, including threatening to kill her partner with scissors last year, according to a police report. This is part of an ongoing thing that has happened to Sunny post her WWE career, where she's had numerous run-ins with law enforcement, problems with addiction, so on and so forth. But I feel like there's a dark side of the ring about, I think it's Sunny and Chris Candido, I think was the most recent episode, or something
rest,
like
rest
that.
In peace to a legend.
Yeah. So this is just one of, it's a sad story for somebody
Sunny
who was
over Stone Cold. Fuck you, Fred.
Yeah. So it is a sad story for Sunny, who's somebody who had a very interesting career in WWE. And is one of the women that people talk about during that time in WWE, especially in the late 90s.
Yeah, man. She was like, I don't want to use the term first diva as a bad thing. I mean that as a compliment. Like, she was like one of the first.
She might have been the original.
She was the original diva, really, is what she's kind of known for. But yeah, dude, like, what a fall from grace. She's had like chance after chance after chance. If it was her on this podcast, it would be 0 days since the last incident. In fact, it would be 126 incidents since the last day.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow that works, but yes, continue.
Somehow that works. But, you know, she was, like, such a sex symbol in the 90s.
She was the most downloaded person when the internet was trash, but yes.
And Shawn Michaels took advantage.
That is also correct.
Consensually, of course.
Mm-hmm. And allegedly so did Bret Hart, the Sunny Days promo.
Allegedly,
yes.
Damn. I got pour one off of Chris Candido, dude, the original cuck, poor guy.
Yeah. So, it's not looking good for Sonny, just to say the least, you know, especially,
what can
you
say,
know,
man? Like, I hope.
There's nothing you can do.
You can say you hope she gets cleaned up, but, I mean, how many chances do you give a bitch? Come on now.
Yeah, she is going to be serving probably at least 15.
Oh, for
I'm
sure.
I'm assuming so. She said she's 50 now, which is very surprising. I had no idea she was 50.
She's 50?
Yeah, that adds up. 95 was 28 years ago.
Yeah, she's 50 now, so she's going to be, you know, going through older adulthood and potentially in a prison. You know, so it is a shame. And so hopefully maybe prison should get some services or some help. Who knows what is going to happen with Sunny. But that is the breaking news that came in to my phone just a couple of hours before the show started. So just wanted to share you guys a little bit of that going on. But we're going to move forward with one of the biggest things that is going to officially happen on Friday is the tickets will go on sale to the public for WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. But those of you who are in the know, I will tell you this. The tickets have already gone on sale during the presale. And if you come really close, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to WrestleMania. We
Fuck
bought
yeah,
the tickets. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The tickets
well spent.
Have been
so
bought
easy.
Already for WrestleMania. Presale has started. Presale started on Tuesday. It is ongoing until obviously Friday morning at 10 a.m. when they officially, quote unquote, go on sale. But I'm going to take some time right now to reveal to you some secrets about buying tickets for WrestleMania in this day and age, especially during the day and age where it is a two-night WrestleMania. Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, and here's a little trick that WWE does. So WWE has this thing where in particular they have pre-sale codes. Okay, the pre-sale codes when they're using Ticketmaster, because 1 year they used SeatGeek due to the arena, and that was AT&T Stadium. But the pre-sale codes only are codes needed for the single day tickets. Okay. The combo tickets, which is your golden ticket for anything, because that's where you'll save literally hundreds of dollars per ticket. The combo ticket pre-sale on Ticketmaster is never locked by a code. All you have to do is be there at the right time.
Interesting.
It really is. Also, here's another thing with, but I'll tell you really, really interestingly about these tickets and stuff. And I'm going to tell you the secret. I need you guys to get real close. I need to tell you this ticket. Shout out to Jordan the Stallion. The ticket codes, the pre-sale ticket codes for WrestleMania are literally the same codes every single year, and they could be codes what I'm about to tell you, like WWE 69, text
420 69.
They are not WWE text, WWE app, WWE VIP, Mania, and .com are the ones that I have seen thus far. .com? Yeah, because if you go on their website,
.com by itself, nothing. Yeah. .com?
No, just like .com. Like, spell it out.
D-O-T-C-O-M. That's
D-O-T-C-O-M.
No, yeah. I get. I know, but like. Yeah. Choice.
Yeah. Those codes will probably be the same thing next year. So write them down if you need to. Okay. Because they're probably not going to change. And you might need it if you need to unlock the single day tickets. For some reason, the combo tickets are sold out, because most of the time, the combo tickets are usually sold out. Speaking of which, this was also leaked the day that the pre-sale started on Tuesday from someone who knows a rep for the Philly Ticketmaster. This is what is on your screen right now is the single day price map and color codes for the entire arena setup for WrestleMania. All right, so the most expensive tickets, your front row tickets, where like all you see all your the same freaking people every year, is going to cost you around $10,000 before taxes and fees. The cheapest tickets in the arena, all the way up in the nosebleeds, is going to be around $40. So that is your range between $10,000 and $40 for a single day of WrestleMania. Screenshot this. Do what you want with this. For what I know from everything I've looked at, this is the official one. This is the official seat map, but also this is the color coding for the prices for all of the seats of WrestleMania. Will and I have solidified our tickets. We're sitting club because I don't fuck around.
Fuck yeah, we don't fuck around.
Yes. Kayfabe, I believe you are on your way to WrestleMania at some point, right? What are your thoughts on this ticket pricing map that I'm showing you up on the screen?
I think that all price points are really well represented. I'm not quite sure what my budget is for Mania yet. But honestly, if I bought a $40 ticket all the way at the fucking top of the arena and just got high the whole day, I wouldn't be mad about it. Honestly, I had amazing seats when we went to MetLife.
Yes.
Like $300 is the most I've ever spent on like an event in my life, and the seats were right there. We were so close.
Yeah.
But I know those seats now are probably like $700.
You'd be surprised. Remember, this is also the single day pricing. So like I said, combo tickets will save you a lot of money. So for instance, the tickets that Will and I purchased, or I purchased on behalf of Will, were for a single day, they're around $375. Okay. Since we bought the combo tickets, obviously $375 times two, outside of tax and fees, essentially. Before tax and fees. And doing the math with all of that, we save per ticket about $125.
Oh, fuck yeah.
By doing the combo ticket.
Yeah.
So if you can.
$75 would be really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't anticipate being able to snag combo tickets because they will probably be gobbled up by the time I'm able to purchase Mania tickets, because we just got back from a vacation. We have some other wonderful things happening right now that are very expensive. So Mania is on pause, but I promise we are on the road to WrestleMania. We're just a couple hours behind in traffic.
Yeah, hopefully they fix that bridge in time, which I hope
for
they
real. Will.
Yeah, so if you are gonna be at WrestleMania with myself and Willie T and fortunately KB, if you know us, which a lot of you do on the Northeast, if you know us and are big wrestling fans and you're gonna be in Philly, let us know. We would love to just fuck around in Philly.
Let's hang out.
Seriously.
Get a little snack.
Let's get cheesesteaks and crack the Liberty Bell.
Again.
I'm going to lick for the first Liberty time. Bell.
Yeah, no, it is a fun. Philly's always a fun time. Cheesesteaks are great. Reading Terminal Market, amazing.
Reading Terminal Market is the shit.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun times. So you are going to be in Philly. You're coming with us. Let us know. Leave a comment below wherever I'm going to post this on social media. Just let us know because we would love to hang out with you and just run buck wild. The last time we were there, we had a fantastic time for the Royal Rumble, the first ever Women's Royal Rumble, NXT TakeOver Philly, where we were in the suites in the Wells Fargo Arena. Was a fantastic time. So I have fond memories of Philly. It is probably going to be, for everybody going, the easiest destination WrestleMania ever. All the stadiums are in the same freaking place. Mm-hmm. You are literally just going to be walking across to the other stadium with a giant bar area in the middle.
I hope Tony Khan tries to run a show at like the Phillies baseball stadium at the same night of WrestleMania. And like...
He does Collision at Wells Fargo.
And like, dude, he doesn't even go. He's front row watching WrestleMania like in a club. He has his own he has a club box next to us watching WrestleMania while he's hosting a show at like
he's in like a sweet box at Lincoln Financial.
Isn't the ECW arena in Philly?
Yes. The 2300 arena is in
Tony Philly. Tony Khan is gonna try to get the ECW arena. Let's be real.
That would be a very interesting call if Tony does pull that off. I'd be very interested to see how that's going to happen. Not what I think. I think it's going to be a very, very big weekend for Mr. Paul Heyman. That is my prediction right now. We are months away from that. But yes, WrestleMania Philly, we are officially going. Very excited. Now we're just going to find out where the hell we're going to stay. But speaking of Tony and things that you just shake your head and be like, Tony, what are you doing? This was first reported by everybody's favorite person, Dave Meltzer, but then also verified by Cultaholic and a bunch of other stuff. Essentially, you can read what's there if you're watching us. CM Punk allowed to block talent from Collision as seen as indispensable. This is also...
What? What do you mean? Indispensable.
This was also, I will tell you, okay, this is also on top of essentially what happened was, apparently after last week's Collision, CM Punk, who I guess was doing crowd work or whatever the hell he was doing after the show went off air, and cut a scathing promo on Hangman Page, you know, one of his favorite people to begin with.
Can I just say, I thought you were going to say CM Punk was doing crack?
No, could you imagine?
I could. The straight edge superstar is now doing crack.
Yeah, so he cuts this really scathing promo on Hangman Page. Obviously, that goes viral for all the wrong reasons because CM Punk is just being CM Punk. It's then been revealed that he also had a pretty high-profile verbal argument with Jack Perry about his segment on the show. I think that was before the show. It was also has come out that he has essentially, it's not confirmed yet because Tony Khan did not speak on it, but it said that he has barred people from showing up at Collision, essentially blocking people. One of them, including Matt Hardy, another one, also including...
Is Jeffrey banned?
And I haven't heard anything about Jeff, but the other one, including Christopher Daniels, you know, the Fallen Angel, mm-hmm. who is now essentially AEW's head of talent relations.
What? Sorry.
Yes, and it has come out.
What is happening on AEW?
The report has come out that CM Punk pretty much has carte blanche to do whatever he wants because he is seen in the company, Tony Khan, as an indispensable person. Essentially, they're giving him the late age WCW
Hogan. They're giving him Hogan status.
They're giving him the Hogan and Mick Murphy, kayfabe. What are your thoughts on... This is your boy. This is why I'm going to you.
What could possibly go wrong with someone who has a big ego? I wonder.
Yo, what are your thoughts
on this CM Punk situation that's going on right now? They're giving him the Hogan.
Okay, so I haven't actually seen this with my eyeballs yet. So based on what I'm hearing, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I absolutely, truly do not like it. I don't know why. This is very much, and I feel like it's the point, so I'm probably, like, being worked correctly, but it just feels fucking icky. Like, for me particular, y'all heard me cry for 7 years about CM Punk.
I literally predicted his return successfully.
On my birthday.
Yeah.
I will never get over that. I will never let it go as long as I live. And now it's just, like, all, like smarmy, like, I don't know. This isn't my type of heel shit, I guess. Maybe this isn't for me, and I'm missing the point, but I'm not a fan at all. It feels really petty.
I mean, this
like
is
if the, you don't if you don't like fucking anybody in the locker room, that's fine. But blocking talent from Collision, I feel like that's just stupid. It's gonna be, it's feeling very like Game of Thronesy to me.
It's not even blocking talent. You're blocking the head of talent relations from showing up.
Yeah, like that's ballsy.
That's very
honestly. Right.
Yeah, Willie T, Will Tarasek, as someone who was also kicked out of AEW Collision by CM Punk, what are your thoughts on this? Sorry.
I didn't lobby him hard enough. I should have given him an extra zero on that check. Yeah, this is a disaster. How many times in wrestling have we gone through the let the talent book themselves and it hasn't worked out? Then again, this is Meltzer. Who knows if it's true?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Scoop Satin hasn't been necessarily the best track record either.
Oh, I kind of missed the Meltzer part of this. So sorry.
Like, unless TK is just like, yeah, this is completely true.
Yeah.
Then again, Meltzer has more historically accuracy with AEW because they literally booked to prove,
booked to prove him wrong.
They booked to prove Meltzer right sometimes.
Yeah, that's also true.
So I feel like Meltzer's more credible with AEW news and WWE news because
I would agree.
He's buddy-buddy with all those guys. So, yeah, this is not going to be a fucking disaster. And it's like, who's going to want to be on this show? You think Andrade's going to want to be on the show? Aleister Black's going to want to be on the show? Adam Cole's going to want to be on the show? Hangman Adam Page's going to be on the show? He literally buried Hangman Adam Page off air. How petty he is.
Yeah. I also, want to kind of point out that I know, we still have a bit to WrestleMania, although, we are, now that, tickets are being bought, we're on the road to Mania, so I think it's something to think about. Collision is literally going to be competing with night one of WrestleMania. How the fuck are you going to produce compelling TV that night if CM Punk is just going to cherry pick everyone from the show every week, basically?
Also, don't forget, CM Punk is the real world champion as well. But also, okay, forget, they're not only trying to go up against night one of WrestleMania, they already failed going up against one night of SummerSlam. They failed miserably by all the metrics. They have to survive the fall. Kayfabe, I know you're not a big sportsman, but you know what happens in the fall?
Football, baby! Football.
Not even that.
The sport I actually care about.
Almost every major sport either begins
or ends
in the fall. We are talking baseball's coming to an end.
Yeah.
The NFL's kicking in. The NHL starts. Starting up. Basketball, the NBA just revealed their in-season tournament, which is going to be the entire month of November.
Wait, excuse me?
By the way, they're starting off a year with an in-season tournament. Yes, that just got revealed.
Post-show. Yeah, you have to explain that one to me.
Yeah, I explained it to my dad today, too, as well. But not only that, specifically on Saturdays in the fall is dominated by one sport and one sport only, college football, from noon to midnight. And with most of the big games happening at prime time at 8 o'clock, the same time Collision's going on, I don't know if they'll survive.
Yeah, they're reading show is dog shit.
Yeah. Doing a show on a Saturday was, not the smartest move, in my opinion.
Saturday afternoon, great. It actually probably would have worked.
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning wrestling would have. I would have been up for that. I would have watched.
I mean, what they had to do, they got to make it like Saturday morning cartoons. Right? If you're gonna do a Saturday morning anything, you got to televise it for kids, right? 8-year-olds. EW is that's not their market, at all.
Yeah.
At all.
I remember being a young child, Saturday mornings I used to watch what was it? What was Channel 11 before the CW? The WB.
The WB.
Yes! That fucking frog made me get my ass up every Saturday morning for cartoons.
Dave Chappelle hates that frog.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah. So my big thing with the CM Punk thing is again, it's Tony Khan. When is Tony Khan gonna stop being a fan and actually like lay his foot down? Like he owns this company and he's letting the inmates run the asylum.
Well, dude, he's an inmate himself. What do you mean? His dad runs the company.
his dad bankrolls the company.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, everyone has a boss. TK's is his dad.
Yeah, his dad bankrolls the company while TK runs wild. And
dude, it's
just
only a matter of time before his dad just goes, all right, like, enough.
Cut
this.
Shit.
Enough. Like, cut enough. Shit. Enough. And it's gonna be when TK visits Sonny in prison for conjugal. And she says no.
You might be right, but I do want to know what you guys think of this. So please leave a comment below. Would you essentially allow your top talent to essentially do whatever they want? Would you ever see a top talent as indispensable? So leave a comment below. Let me know what you guys.
I don't know. Ricky Fret says Ospreay versus Jericho at Wembley. It sounds like CM Punk might have booked that match. Let me tell you what I don't want to see.
I kind of want to see that actually. That's for me.
That's just Jericho getting a paycheck, and I don't blame him for doing that. Which is good, but listen.
It's fun for Ospreay, though.
2 weeks ago, we didn't have a match to talk about on this card, so hopefully it moves up to something. Let's move on from AEW to the gift that keeps on giving, the Bloodline storyline. Deuces. Uses Jey Uso for his mental health has left WWE. WWE has played their part and they have put Jey Uso as part of the alumni section on the website. So this is a full blown, like, all hands on deck. People kept saying that this jumped the shark at SummerSlam. You just got to wait till it plays out. I think Jimmy, formerly known as Jimmy, now known as James Uso, because that was a James Uso move at SummerSlam, had a great reason. I don't want you to be corrupted like Roman is, so on and so forth. I kind of like where this is going. Well, you have some doubts. What's going on?
I liked Jimmy's response. Right, I did. I almost called him Jay, but yeah, James. Sorry, James. I like James Franco's response over there. I loved Roman's reactions too. Like in the corner, going like me? What do you mean me? it's like he needs to eat a popcorn like Beth Phoenix did that one time, and it would have been perfect.
Oh, so good.
but like I loved everything Jimmy did. Loved everything Jay did. I loved the super kick. He's like gives him a hug and just kicks him right in the teeth. I was just like, oh shit. the quitting, just but why? What's why quit? To hold
because self care is important. Will,
that is true. Self care is very important.
Yeah, the quitting. I they had me up until he's like deuces. I was just like, let's see where it goes. Like what? I saw someone on Facebook today because I love Facebook posts about wrestling and people complaining and having silly theories. he was just like, this is where Jimmy Uso needs to go on a massive single run to get on Jay's level. Because right now, if this match happened tomorrow, it's too obvious Jay's going to win. Which,
yeah,
of course. So if Jimmy goes on a massive run, like beats the fuck out of Rey Mysterio, has a good U.S. title run, and then like Jimmy costs him the belt, Jay costs him the belt, and they have a match going into Mania, okay, I can get with that. But like Jay is such a hot commodity right now. You're just going to take him off TV? Why?
I don't know if he'll be completely off TV. He'll be on TV, but like he won't be a part of the roster. So it'll be like kind of like, oh, he bought a ticket. And now he's like, I think he might like to start playing mind games with his brother.
All right. So how long is he out of WWE then?
Longer than CM Punk during the Summer of Punk.
Oh, please, at that point, please. That was like 11 days.
As long as you can beat that threshold, I think that's fine. I'm interested to see where it goes, to be honest with you. I'm interested to see like how James Uso responds, what Jimmy does, what the fallout's going to be, what Roman does. I mean, let's be honest, this is all an excuse for Roman Reigns to take a little bit of a vacation, and rightfully so. Yeah. He doesn't need to be in the spot.
I'm glad that they didn't go with the I was jealous route, right? They didn't make him go uber heel. They made him a sympathetic heel. You go, okay, I get what you're saying, but you're still a piece of shit for doing it. Like, there are other ways to have that conversation other than, you know, in front of 50,000 people screwing him out of, like, his moment of his life. But, you know. Like,
and sports entertainment.
Like, I didn't do this for you, Oos. What are you talking about, Oos? I did it for him, Oos.
Did it because of him. And Roman's like, me?
He's like, what do you mean? Is that what I told him? He's like, what about me? I'm great. Like, Roman's facial expressions were so good. He started laughing, like. Yeah, it was great.
That was the best part of it. Roman's like, what did I say? Huh?
What did I say? I told you. And then he got kicked in the teeth.
That's what
gaslighting is. Now it's time for you to acknowledge me.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is traditional gaslighting by Roman Reigns.
Oh, of course.
Kayfabe, what are your thoughts on this segment?
I enjoyed it. Don't really remember it, honestly, because I watched it during work, but I'm excited to see what's next. Yeah, it was very kicky.
Yeah, and also what was pointed out to me by my friend, shout out to Charles, by the way, it looks like they're giving Jay the spear as well as part of his moveset.
Yes,
he's hit it
that's pretty cool.
Cleanly.
Yeah,
He's hit it pretty cleanly recently. So very good for him. I'm interested to see where it goes. Makes me want to watch SmackDown. Doesn't want to make me watch it because Kevin Patrick's on it now. And I will say this on a side
burger. I was so mad.
Did you see Michael Cole's face? No one was more pissed than Michael Cole.
Oh, in the beginning of the show, he's like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Well, here's the thing. So, remember how we talked last week, how the idea was to make Cole, like, the face of the announce team?
Yeah.
They made him second chair on SmackDown.
Third chair, kind of.
Second. Corey's always going to be third because he's the antagonist.
True. But, like, you see,
they made Cole the swingman.
Michael Cole was still, like, taking lead, though, out of habit. He's like, it's like Rey Mysterio's next.
After a while, he said, screw it. After a while, he just said, screw it, and took over.
Yeah. He did. And he's kind of like going back and forth with Corey. He's like, Kevin, shut up. How long before Kevin Patrick is just no longer there?
He might, if he lasts to WrestleMania, I'll be surprised.
I am, like, not a fan of him at all.
He's bad.
He's so dull.
Ironically, he's a lot better when no one's in his ear and he's just talking. Because, like, I've listened to him on Corey Graves' podcast after the bell.
He's also good on the pre-show. Like, I think he does fine on the pre-show. It's just TV.
Pre-show and commentary totally different.
Yeah.
Podcasting and commentary totally different.
He's just always out of breath.
Yeah, because I think he has an issue with someone in his ear. Because when the pre-show, he can kind of, like, he can shoot the shit a little bit more. On a podcast, he can shoot the shit a little bit more, and that's where he excels.
He's but when it's like, T.
Oh, Shucky Ducky.
Shucky Ducky, quack, quack, segment of the night. Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Outside of Kayla Braxton, that is the only reason I watch the pre-show, to see what the Shucky Ducky quack, quack
moment is. Dude, I love their pre-show. Their pre-show is fucking quack, awesome, quack, dude. It's gonna happen tonight.
Then Peter Rosenberg trying to sound like eloquent. They're just a giant cavalcade of just random characters. Sam
Rosenberg's
Roberts will be there.
Good too. I like Rosenberg.
Rosenberg's wildly intelligent. He's wrote a couple of books on sports and stuff. He's actually really good.
Yeah, he's good with Michael Kay as well.
Michael Kay, yeah, he's excellent a lot of times too with that. But yeah, no, SmackDown seems to be interesting. Also, something happening on SmackDown as well. Edge came out, surprised out of nowhere. He's like, oh, hey, I know I'm supposed to be in Toronto next week, but I wasn't booked for his show, but I came out because he wanted to talk his shit, because LOL, they're on a Canadian run. Essentially what happens is Edge says the person who gave him the confidence in a really weird way is he was doing a Celtic Warrior workout video with Sheamus, which I highly recommend you look at because they're really fun. Especially because Sheamus asks every wrestler, what's your cheat meal?
Yeah,
so you
funny.
So you get to see what, like, nah, I think Finn Balor's was like burgers and fries, like something really basic like that. Bobby Lashley's is like cookies, but anywho, as I think it was documented, I believe on on his 24, he was doing a video with Sheamus. They were mountain biking. He fell off the mountain bike and got hit pretty and hurt pretty badly, but he and his neck was fine and all that stuff. And Sheamus essentially was the motivator to get Edge back into the ring. Sheamus stayed with Edge for a little longer, he said like a month or so, trying to get him into wrestling shape again. And proving to Edge that he can do this again. And so he wanted to give Sheamus his kudos, but he also wanted to challenge Sheamus because I just totally slipped my mind, but Sheamus and Edge have never faced each other in a WWE ring.
Well, Sheamus was on his way up Edge was on the way out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that, yeah. They were two ships passing in the night, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's the setup. And here's where the speculation happens. Edge is going to face Sheamus, which is going to be a crazy match in and of itself. You got two guys who know how to freaking work and put on a show. Mm-hmm. They're facing Edge at Edge's second 25th anniversary special because he did one in MSG. Let's not forget. But he's doing his 25th anniversary, I guess, officially in Toronto, Canada, where he's from. Sheamus' first time ever matchup. Edge's 25th anniversary. The question that I'm going to pose to you and to all of our followers and listeners and stuff is this Edge's last match?
No.
No.
I was just setting
up. No, not on fucking TV.
Yeah. You don't think they're gonna advertise as his last match or hype up it's his last? They're not gonna make money off his last match. Come on, Ricky, you're better than this.
With someone like Edge, and we know that WWE is a very highly a meritocracy, no one's going to tell him when his last match is going to be.
That too, as well. Mm-hmm. This sets up an angle. Yeah. You're probably going to, unless Ridge Holland like accidentally injures him.
Oh, God.
Right?
Oh, stop. Don't say that.
Knock on wood. No, it's not his last match. Though. This might have a great heel turn, though, for Sheamus, which I think would be interesting.
That would be very fun.
Super interesting. Yeah. Edge versus Sheamus? I never thought I would want to see it or care to see it. Or
it's really interesting.
It's just like, this is just out of nowhere and weird. Okay, let's see what happens. If it's just a one-off match and that's it, like, what a waste. But I think this has to set up an angle.
Go ahead, Kay.
I feel like WWE often is predictable and isn't, like, surprising in this way, so it's really nice to see such a fucking random pairing that's never happened before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to slap.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it is going to slap, but I myself wouldn't be surprised if Edge just hangs it up. What a better way to go than in your hometown.
He's probably almost done, but I think it's just he's on the road to his retirement match, but he's not. He's just
mm-hmm.
a stop.
The crazy part about it is I don't foresee WWE returning to Toronto anytime soon. At all.
No, probably not.
So, like, yeah. And so if this essentially might be his last WWE match in front of his home crowd.
That's probably for sure. Sure. Yeah.
Possibly.
Probably.
You know.
Come on, Ricky. You know how this works. They got to announce it. They got to do a tour.
He'll retire at a pay-per-view.
Where he wrestles all the people he wants to wrestle to, and he loses to Baron Corbin. You know how this works. He's been down this road.
Kurt Angle did that, but Kurt is not Edge. You know? Edge already knew he was on, like, borrowed time. And
hey, dude, Kurt Angle's been on borrowed time since the 96 Olympics.
Kurt's been on borrowed perks since the 96 Olympics, okay? So. Yeah. Mm. I'm just saying. I see Edge as kind of a storytelling romantic, and I can see him kind of pulling a Billy Gunn, which happened randomly on Collision.
True,
which Billy Gunn retired.
Yeah, that's just Billy Gunn. It's not Edge. It's Billy Gunn.
You know, but I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if this occurs. If Edge pulls a fast one.
Kurt's wife got borrowed. God damn it, Swan.
Probably the second wife. No, the first wife, I believe.
Karen Jarrett.
Because he got remarried, I believe. Kurt, but anyway, yeah. Listen, it's possible Edge. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes a moment where Edge just calls it quits.
Yeah, I got we'll know
if Beth Phoenix is in the crowd. If Betty is there somewhere, then this might be it. That's going to be my indicator. So, Moving on, also on SmackDown. SmackDown was pretty hot this week, unlike Raw. Out of nowhere, Rey Mysterio beat Austin Theory for the U.S. title. So Rey Mysterio, after being inducted to the Hall of Fame, is still on some crazy run, and he is now the United States champion. And I believe, Mr. Willie T. Will Tarachuk, I believe this solidifies everything that John Cena talked to said about Austin Theory before WrestleMania. It's looking real bad.
It's sad, yeah. Man. It's a goddamn shame. How is, yeah, Austin Theory bounce back from this, man? I don't know.
Ooh.
Ooh. You know, it was about a year ago when we had the he's buried discussion, and now look at him.
That was a year ago already?
Is that the Money in the Bank?
Somewhat.
Is that the Money in the Bank?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird one. I wonder, is this a, like, kayfabe, is this a better thing for Rey Mysterio or a worse thing for Austin Theory?
I kind of think it's neutral. Like, I think Austin Theory is still relatively new enough in WWE where, like, it's not a burial. It doesn't matter. He'll be fine. He'll quite literally be fine. He'll probably flop around and cater for a little bit. But, like, you know, every dog has their day.
Mm-hmm.
Let Rey Mysterio have his final run. Let him enjoy a title, a championship. Like, let him enjoy it. He deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves his flowers while he's still, like, in WWE to receive them.
I agree. The heel booker in me wants me to think this might set up Santos turning on Rey and kicking him out of the LWO.
Yeah, that's what's gotta happen. That's what's gotta
probably
happen.
Yeah.
You know, because a couple weeks ago, Rey suffered, like, a legit concussion. For what we thought was a legit concussion, they had to call the match off. To kind of already do a switcheroo, which makes you believe that Rey was going to win in the first place anyways. But hopefully this kind of ties into maybe Santos turning heel and him taking control of the LWO. And hey, Sir Charles, this is a pro wrestling podcast. We're not doing free Michael Orr here, although that is also a very screwed up situation that happened to him. The subject of the blind side.
I've roughly heard about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on the post show, all that fun stuff. But congratulations to Rey Mysterio. He is now, I don't even know how many times he's a U.S. champion.
Cool.
I guess. Did he ever win the U.S. title before? I remember he was IC for a very long time.
Maybe, let me see.
He might have had it in WCW.
Maybe, because I know this is his first U.S. title run, which does make him a Grand Slam. Congratulations to Rey.
Yes, we'll make a Grand Slam.
Yeah, it would make him actually be a Grand Slam as kayfabe was looking it up. We are going to move on to Triple H was right, folks, about Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus moving their match, or allegedly moving their match that was never announced for SummerSlam, or a card was never announced for SummerSlam, moving it to Raw. Yes, kayfabe, what do you got for
According
me?
To Wikipedia, it says he is currently signed to WWE, where he performs on the SmackDown brand and is the current WWE United States champion in his third reign.
His third reign. Okay. Thank you for that. From the Department of Corrections, Mix Murphy.
The fact-checking department.
The Department of Corrections. And also from a department, Fred saying Ray never had the U.S. WCW title. But Joe beat him for the title at Mania. That's right, Samoa Joe did beat him.
We were there for that, weren't we?
That was the match that got cut for time. That was the quick match that got cut for time.
Oh, shit.
I remember that. But yes, Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch, their match got moved to Canada in Winnipeg, which is an unenthusiastic crowd, which didn't help them. This actually kind of went to a dusty finish where they were fighting... They were fighting outside in the merchandise store. Speaking of merchandise, Becky Lynch now has literally a T-shirt with a giant lemon on it.
Oh, my God. What?
As the pettiness continues between Becky Lynch and Triple H. So, Kay, have you been informed of this Becky Lynch and Triple H pettiness has been going back and forth?
I saw on, like, Instagram that she did the spit but with lemonade.
Yes. So, I'll explain to you really, really quickly, kayfabe. So, essentially... People were getting upset that how come Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch weren't on the SummerSlam card. So Triple H was asked about this indirectly, at the press conference, and Triple H was like, well, number one, we didn't actually announce a card ever. We never announced a card ever. And he said pretty much number two, like, okay, yeah. He said, we did announce a card. He said, we have so much talent that when you go from two nights of WrestleMania easily to one to a one night show, people are going to get cut. Not everybody's going to make it.
He okay, also, but why is it never men that are getting cut?
He also, because essentially what he said is like they overbook on purpose. They see what the best feuds are. The best ones always will make it, usually to a PLE. But he also said, hey, even though SummerSlam just ended, we got to do another show in four. We got another major show in 4 weeks. So, and he said the comment of like, when life gives you lemons, maybe you got to learn to make lemonade. The next night on Raw, Becky Lynch came out with a pitcher of lemonade.
Thank you for the context. That's fucking absolutely wild.
And now WWE has made it to a T-shirt, a lemon, literally a picture of a giant lemon as a T-shirt for WWE is being sold.
I just don't get why we can't book more women.
That's just good marketing.
That's good. That is also good marketing.
It is good marketing. I'm just concerned.
Well, to answer your question, Kay, it's because the sport always has been and always will be a predominantly male sport. It's just the nature of the business.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. It's just, it seems like whenever there are time constraints, budgetary constraints, things like that, right, it's always the women's matches that are the first to go.
Well, yeah,
but also keep in mind,
sport. That's just why.
Also, keep in mind a couple of things. Number, like Tripp said in the presser, Becky and Trish were never announced for SummerSlam, ever.
Oh, I didn't say they were. It's still just like a bummer that like.
Yeah, it's safe to assume that though that they got cut, like because they're.
Oh, for sure.
Like it's safe to assume that they would have been booked on the card. I know. Technically, you're right, Ricky. But, yeah. Like, you know, do a little inferring here. That's what I'm looking for. Make an inference.
There you go. Inference. There you go. Use that. Use that. I can only count on 15 education.
Oh. like if it were, like, on this show, we were saying that we're assuming this is going to SummerSlam. Like, we saw the writing on the wall. Now, you are technically correct that the card was never announced. But the way TV was going, it is safe to make an assumption and inference that this was going to be on the card. And seeing that it's not, it is safe for us to assume and infer that it got cut.
Like Daquan said, they were never announced, but you can assume that it was being considered.
For sure.
So that is the better. Yeah. And maybe it probably was being considered. And they said, okay, we have, what did they have, like, what, eight other hotter rivalries going?
And to Kay's point, yeah, they wish a different men's match would have been cut. But Kay, let me ask you, which one?
Yeah, which one are you cutting from that card?
I don't remember the card. So
you have a Slim Jim Battle Royal with Slim Jim.
I would have cut that one, but then people
without
have been mad,
question.
Yeah, but the well, LA. But do you do that at the risk of how over and hot LA Knight is?
You also do not cut somebody who's giving you money. Slim Jim is a sponsor. They were giving them millions of dollars.
I'm not going to lie. KS, he's right. But then again, could Slim Jim have sponsored this match where there's too much violence or fucking whatever? I don't know.
If I'm giving you millions of dollars, you're going to listen to what I want to do.
Yeah, fair. So and if your answer is you're going to cut this other match because it's a men's match, you want to get more women on the card. Personally, I don't think that's a good enough reason to cut something. I would have, if I was going to choose which one to cut, I would have cut Ronda and Shayna.
Looking back at it, you might have been able to. But
that's the easier thing to say. But for the build, like Ricky said, that video package was just fucking phenomenal. In the moment, it wasn't a terrible decision.
Yeah, and you kind of live and die by what happens afterwards. Like, you do it what you can.
Yeah, and you gave it a bigger stage as to what's being moved forward. So it's not like you did him a favor, but you're making up for it in the very least.
Yeah, I think the issue with, especially with the, in particular, the women's booking outside of them not having a mid-card title and the flip-flop of a tag team titles or recursing of the tag team titles is that I think the people trying to tell the female stories aren't actually female-bodied individuals in the writer's room. And I think that's there is a way, you correct me if I'm wrong, Kay, because I knew you have grown up femme, that it's a certain way of telling a female story, but it's compared to telling a male story.
Yeah, a man could have made Barbie.
Yeah.
Oh my God, absolutely not. A man cannot have made Barbie. A man.
Guaranteed, yes, they could not do that.
A man or somebody that grew up and was socialized male might most likely will not understand nuances such as the Barbie movie or things in the typical feminine experience and the experience of womanhood.
Yeah.
And women need to be telling these stories. A lot of the stories for surrounding women aren't really meaningful. Mm-hmm. It especially in the tag division, often just feels like we put wrestler A and wrestler B together, and they're going to wrestle wrestler C and wrestler D. And it's just not meaningful. It's not very thoughtful. Like, look at the fucking Lana Bobby Lashley story.
Oh my God. Let's not, but I know where you're
Evans,
going.
Lacey Evans, Ric Flair.
Yes, Lacey Evans, Ric Flair.
Lacey Evans, Flair.
Wow. I only mention that because Lacey Evans announced that she's leaving WWE, I think as of tonight at midnight. She's done her contract.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Lacey Evans is out. Okay. Like, her contract expires, I think, tonight or last night or tomorrow night at midnight, and she's not renewing.
Shit.
There was a too much flip-flopping. I thought she had a lot of potential, but I think she was mishandled.
They did her dirty, man. They should have kept the sassy Southern Belle.
They did.
It was so perfect.
I agree. The sassy Southern Belle, I think, was tailor-made for her over a long run.
And it was fucking
I was not
perfect.
A fan.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of her in, like, any way, but they flip-flopped her too much.
Must of the behest of Dave. Must of the Dave.
You're nasty.
Yeah, but no. Yeah, nasty. Loved the nasty. Yes.
Yeah, back to the original point, though. I completely agree. Yeah, I think you definitely need more female writers writing for these women because it's easier and it's better. For sure, absolutely. That's just when it comes to artistic values like that. Yeah, that makes sense. Every art comes from personal experience. It's very hard for me to write from the perspective of a woman because I'm not. You know what I mean?
Like, yes. It's
possible. It's like say I grew up with five sisters, right? It'd be easy. Mm-hmm. It would be easier, but it's still not as
you
easy as
proxy.
One of my
you
sisters.
You could empathize. Yeah, you could probably empathize more.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why WandaVision was so good because it was written by women.
Mm-hmm.
From a Marvel standpoint, but yeah. So Becky and Trish are continuing. One can assume that it might be considered for payback if I'm using Taquan's words. One can assume, but you always know card is subject to change. And now we're going to play a great little fun game as we start to wrap it up here. As in, everybody's going to get a chance here. What did Shinsuke whisper to Seth Rollins on Raw?
Are we doing Tarasak. Wrong answers only?
Wrong answers only, yes.
He said, "Come on!"
You clearly did not watch the show, Kamer.
No, I didn't.
It was
hi, Barbie!
Hi, Barbie!
I'm going to go what he whispered in his ear.
Elijah.
He whispered in his ear, your seat in Captain America 4 got cut.
Ooh.
When he was...
What if he was like, Oppenheimer wasn't historically accurate, and he left?
He just totally took supper for a ride.
Like, what do you mean?
What?
What do you mean it wasn't accurate? Yeah, the bombs... The bombs were fake.
Your shoes are untied.
Oh my God, the Hydra.
I don't know why or he's being pushed either.
I think no. He probably said you are not Knuff.
You are not Knuff.
You are not Knuff.
Yeah, you're not Knuff.
I came so close to buying an I am Knuff shirt. I swear to God,
I'm seconds away from buying an I am Knuff hoodie. I'm not.
I am most likely being a Barbie for Halloween. It was the moment of the year.
I'm not gonna lie, dude.
I know we're not talking about Barbie right now, but I'm gonna talk about Barbie right now. Women did a great job writing about men, though. Ken, they fucking nailed it.
Has everyone on the show seen it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all loved it. We all fucking loved it.
The Matchbox 20 scene is, as somebody that has dated almost entirely musicians, I can attest that's exactly how it goes.
That's amazing.
It's literally true. Also, Depression Barbie, Pride and Prejudice, also true.
Did you have any triggering moments when they started playing Matchbox 20?
Honestly, I was relieved it wasn't Wonderwall.
That's also very true. That's the other one.
Kate pulled up her ukulele and started jamming.
Nah, not to Wonderwall.
Oh my god, what a moment. But yeah, Shinsuke and Seth are heating up, which should be something very interesting for the fall. We're going to play a couple more games here, folks. Like, speaking of which, kayfabe, name this new tag team, because Matt Riddle always needs a babysitter now that Randy's nowhere to be found. So they stuck him with... So name this tag. I already have a name.
Bro Sinan.
Dribble.
What is it? Bro Sinan, okay.
I said Bro Sinan.
Bro Sinan. I actually kind of like that. Bro Sinan. A little terrified, sure.
Ah, dude, it's driddle. Dude, these guys are just straight driddle. I don't even know if that's a word, but
driddle.
I'm making one up. Driddle.
Which is a shame because Drew had a fantastic match with Gunther.
Yeah. if there is ever a style that's going to make me regret signing recently at WWE, this would be it.
Matt Entire.
I have the
Matt
winner.
Matt Entire isn't too bad.
Matt Entire is not bad. I have the winner for everybody
Catering
right
Bros
now.
Catering is pretty good.
Here we go. Mick Griddle.
Mick Bye.
Griddle.
Bye.
Mick. Drew McIntyre.
Trademarked.
It might be trademarked. Don't tell Elon Musk.
Deceased.
Mick Riddle. Yeah, Mick Griddle. Or Mick Riddle. You can do it Mick Riddle.
Mick Riddle.
Mick Riddle.
Big Riddle.
Damn, dude. What a shame this is. Just look at this. Even the refs is like, this is so bad.
I feel like Drew McIntyre has just been on this roller coaster for so fucking long where he's either in a really compelling story or absolute horse shit.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, that is spot on K Murphy.
It's gonna be bad. Bye.
Yeah, it is a shame. And last but not least, we're going to name this tag team because now that Sonya Deville has tore her ACL after winning her first ever championship, Chelsea needed a new tag team partner. And Chelsea, listen, say what you want about Chelsea Green. She's actually pretty successful if you look at her career accolades. She made an event to Lucha Underground one year, which is kind of crazy.
Wait, was she a sexy star?
She was not Sexy Star, I believe. I forgot
what
Lucha Underground
name was. She had like problems with the law too. No, Sexy Star is a bad
Sexy Star has a
reputation. She's just a
bitch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sexy Star was shooting
isn't
on people in the ring.
Yeah, isn't Sexy Star like banned in like every other
That's what it
promotion?
Was. She'd shoot on you in the ring and like actually hit you and shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was shooting on people in the ring.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
so anyways,
Piper Nevin, she looks great. She looks like she lost a bunch of weight.
She did drop. She did drop a considerable amount of weight, but essentially, Chelsea and a new partner, Piper Nevin, showed up after beating down my favorite short women, Casey Catanzaro or Katana Chance, and Kaden Carter, when they were going to challenge Chelsea. For a hot second, I thought it was Nia Jax returning, and I was like, "Oh crap!" Because they have the same kind of bodysuit.
Yeah, they do the same kind of bodysuit. Yeah, they just showed like the legs.
Yeah, you saw the middle of the body, so like it was a real quick flash, and
yeah,
I was like,
I totally thought it was Nia Jax.
I'd have been like Nia, and it was Piper, and I was like, oh, she's like I'm your new partner now, which is great. But Chelsea Green is a hashtag queen. Maybe I'll do a competition called Chelsea's Got Talent, and people that's already been on Chelsea's Got Talent is Ciampa, and R-Troop submitted a video submission to be her tag team partner.
Poor Ciampa.
I believe they are going to set up a DIY reunion. But
please,
wrong answers only.
Sammy and KO to come back for us. I think they're both hurt.
Who?
Sammy and KO.
No, Sammy's wrestling. KO is hurt.
His ribs or something. Okay, what's this tag team match?
Name is tag team. Name is tag team. This is a brand new tag team. Wrong answers only. KFIT.
Oh man.
I wish it wasn't me. Blue Steel.
All right, fair enough.
A smoking pipe.
What?
She's smoking hot, and her name's Piper, smoking pipe.
Ah, I like that. I like that.
Green Queens.
Wait, you said Green Queens?
I did.
Why green?
Oh, Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green.
Oh, Green Queens, okay.
How about Matt Cardona's Dream Threesome?
Too long of a name. Too long.
Two woo, girls, one cup.
Woo, woo. Two girls, one cup.
I did.
I thought you were kind of using that as a reference piece, but I guess not. No. I was going to say like two girls, one title.
Yeah. Two girls, one title.
Yeah, two girls, one title. I want to do something with like Dewdrop or Green Drop
reverse
or something like
the
that.
Curse.
I really hope they reverse the curse or something, or just give it to Caden Carter and Katana Chance, aka Casey Catanzaro. Yeah.
For real.
You know, like a real tag team.
I forgot they're on the main roster.
Honestly, because they haven't. Honestly, I did too, because they just popped up out of nowhere, because they didn't really give them much of anything. Unless they're hurt or we're deciding to finally, like, really give them a chance to give them.
Caden Carter is just, like, out at nightclubs every single night with, like, all her friends. She's shaking her ass on Instagram.
Partying.
It's like, do you good not wrestle ever?
Listen, she can do whatever she wants. Caden Carter is a beautiful woman. Yeah. Great basketball player, too.
Yeah.
Absolute great basketball player. So, yeah. Chelsea Green, Piper Niven are your new women's tag team champions as that hot potato curse continues along. But I'm glad for Piper Niven. Like I said, like you said, Will, she looks fantastic.
She does. She looks great. I'm glad she took her time off TV. She actually wanted to better herself.
I don't know if she was injured or not, because she did make that return as Piper Niven at the Rumble.
Yeah.
And then she wasn't seen. So maybe it was like kind of a one-time thing.
Had nothing for her. But no, she looks great. I hope she keeps it up.
Yeah, which is fine. Keep it up for her. Yeah. So with that being said, folks, we are done this week. That's all we have.
Bullshit, man!
Do you want to talk more about CM Punk?
Honestly? No, I gotta be up early tomorrow, so quick pre-show.
Of course you do. Yeah, I'll show you some fun stuff on the post show and
you,
all of
you
that.
Explain to me what the NBA is doing, and then this Michael Oler thing.
Michael Orr.
Orr, excuse me.
Yeah, that's a weird. Yeah, the Michael Orr one will be a little bit easier to kind of explain.
I will be dipping for the post show.
You've had a long couple weeks. Yeah,
I need to go eat.
That too. I almost took a picture of my dinner tonight, okay? I made a really thick steak.
Oh, that sounds very good.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm making another one tomorrow. Maybe I'll send you a picture.
Yes, please.
It's I'm making tomorrow a thick-cut ribeye.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Oh, yeah. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for it. But until then, folks, it's time to get the show on the road with potentially a quick post-show. So, Mr. Tereshock, if you may, sir.
We're going to do a post show for 91 minutes, 1 minute for each indictment. Let's see how long I can
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to King's Rings podcast, a not so special episode of 350 Deuces Oozes. Even though we're throwing up the deuce, we are not going anywhere like CM Punk's career. I've been your host, King Ricky Rose. You can find me at Ambassador Biggs across all social media outlets whenever I decide to return. Find King's of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast across all social media outlets. Like, share, subscribe, leave us 5-star reviews. The links are in the description below, as well as links to some of our fantastic merchandise. If you're listening to us, number one, thank you. If you're watching us, thank you again. Please leave, like I said, leave a 5-star review, like, share, subscribe. But if you're listening to us, make sure you're listening to us on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. We're not talking about that Texas Deathmatch Massacre match or whatever it is. I don't care about it, friends. And follow Wrestle Addict Radio at @addict_wrestle on Twitter and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else. Links to all of that stuff is in the description below. Will Tereshock. I forgot to talk about that Texas Deathmatch Massacre match because I don't care for it.
I didn't even know that was a thing. In a,
it's Jeff Jarrett versus Jeff Hardy.
God.
That's so weird.
Wow. 1999 called and they're like, you know what? You can have it. You can you can just leave it up 24 years in the future. And we're just going to leave it there. But ladies and gentlemen, my name is Will Tarashuk, Tisa Thomas, A-R-A-S-H-U-K. 24 years from now, I'll be sitting maybe in this chair, not in this room, hopefully, but in a chair, talking on a microphone. That's just what I do. And yeah, so a lot of fun stuff going on with me. So thank you, everybody who supports my business, making sure that all my clients made sure I can pay for WrestleMania quite easily. So I'm glad the
work
finally fucking pays off. Kay Murphy.
Hello.
I
I, as always, am too high for the end of the show, but it's my birthday week. Yeah, I turned 30. I turned 32 on Sunday.
You don't look a day past 24.
I know. It's so great. it's great. I still get carded. Wow. We are going to see Sweeney Todd tomorrow on Broadway, and I'm so fucking excited.
You're going to have the time of your life.
I'm going to sob my eyes out. you can say happy birthday to me on Instagram at K_Fabe. And yeah,
I'll give you a call for your birthday is what I'll do.
That would be so nice. Thank you. I love a nice call.
I call people I care about.
That's so personal.
That's why I don't call Will.
Yeah, text me. It's fine. I'm an adult.
Exactly. When we come back next week, we'll actually see if Edge is retiring, if CM Punk is taking somebody else out of AEW Collision, at least, and what's going on with Jay and James Uso. But there's one thing that we do know, folks, is that we will be seeing you at WrestleMania in Philadelphia. So until then, folks, goodbye. Good night. We'll see you soon. And one person I really hope doesn't show up in Philly, but actually secretly kind of do, because I can finally tell him to his face, is Slack, because fuck you, Slack. We'll see you next week.